And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
No, I think it was the 50s because I spotted a car. And I went, oh, that's from the 50s then. Mm-hmm.
52 Mars but, Minor, only 44 built in this particular configuration.
Yeah. Fuck you, man.
How do they expect me to maintain my believability when that car is clearly out of place?
That wasn't released for at least 3 years after the film was made.
Good evening and welcome to Is It a Bicycle? Season 13, Episode 4, the original and bestest ever TV and movie podcast. My name is Stephen Wrigley and I'll be your host for this evening. This week we have a man who says that in his time of most need, he's looked down and seen only one set of footprints. He asked the Lord why and the Lord replied that sand people ride in single file to hide their numbers. It's Mike, the McDonough. And in the red corner it's our cuddly killer, a man who boiled a clown last week to see if he'd get laughing stock. It's Mark, whoa, superhero whoa, Leonard. Whoa. God, that's bad. This week we'll be discussing stuff like Subura, new TV show, The Mayor, The Gifted, maybe The Salesman, Spider-Man Homecoming, American Vandal, because Mark recommended, Valor, Brawl in Cell Block 99, and It. I've got a fair bit to get through.
Oh, Steve, with these TVs, you're really spoiling us.
Yeah, so how are we doing?
Fantastic, Steve.
So I'm having internet connection issues.
Ah, okay.
So once upon a time, that just meant that all I had to do was stop my downloads.
Yeah.
But now I have to send messages all over the house to find out who's fucking on Netflix.
You need a band that's broader.
Surely a resourceful young man like yourself could arrange to block certain signals.
I feel a lot of usernames coming on.
There's only so many times you can change the Wi-Fi password and pretend it was an accident.
Very good.
Yeah. Why don't you change the password to something that gives a message like, fuck you, you prick. One.
Well, because the people that will be using the internet are aged 6 and 7. so that kind of language doesn't tend to play well fly. With that crowd.
I
think the Jesuits used to say, give me a boy when he's 6 and I'll give you the man.
Jesus Christ.
Probably didn't quite turn out like that for a lot of 6-year-olds, but hey. We're not bitter.
Yeah. So any crack, anything strange or startling happen?
I feel like we owe our listeners an update on Hurricane Ophelia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, gentle listeners, we are all lucky to be here, to be honest. There was an extinction level event that impacted Ireland on earlier this week. And it was named Hurricane Ophelia. Not when it came to Ireland, though. It was something like offshoot of Hurricane Ophelia or
Ophelia.
The bit at the end of the hurricane. Yeah. I'm sure Mike can finish me the correct term, but I can't call it to mind right now. But so this was meant to be the worst wind since 1961, was it?
Yeah.
And this is my problem with this story is that there was 3 people killed, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over the course of it, so it's hard to make jokes when you know that, because there was actual tragedy involved, tragedy. But it was such a non-event up where I am in the northwest of the country, because it got kind of windy. But like, you know, if you didn't know there was a hurricane and you weren't prepared with 40,000 tea lights lining every possible surface that you could light one on, just in case the power went, you wouldn't have even noticed.
Yeah.
What was your Hurricane Ophelia experience?
We had about an hour and a half of sort of fierce wind, let's say. We've had worse.
Jeez, I don't know. It was fairly touch and go down where I was.
Well, you were
at one point,
exposed.
I was down to my last 6 beers. And I thought, if this lasts much longer, I'm fucked.
No, it was grand. It was funny than the day before. We had all these dire warnings from our weather service, and I mean, really, like, you know, no messing, guys. Stay at feckin' home. You know, all businesses closed, school is closed, all public transport's turned off. You know, everything, everything's closed. It's funny, the public transport said, "Yeah, we'll operate till 2, which meant we'll get you to work, but you're not getting home.
Yeah,
but
we got Storm Brian coming in Friday.
Oh, we do. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, is it a battle?
Shitting myself.
Oh, yeah. Better stock up on those cans today. So.
I'll never be caught short again.
There's still time, you know. Right. Let me see. What do I want to start with? The Gifted. I think Mark should start with this one. This is one of his choices.
So The Gifted is set in the X-Men universe, a la Days of Future Past and those movies. It is, excuse me, it is a story where mutants are more or less outlawed. They are being heavily policed. And one, he's kind of an FBI agent that deals with a lot of mutant criminals, finds out when there is an incident at his school that his son and daughter are both gifted, i.e. mutants, and the people that he's been putting in jail a lot. They come into contact with the Mutant Underground, a group that helps mutants in need and tries to get them to Mexico, where anything goes, even in this dystopian world. And that is the story of Gifted. Fox is Gifted.
Even the way you're sort of explaining it, you know, and the way we're introduced to the family, you're immediately on their side, right? A normal suburban family, you find out that their children are mutants, right? But I'd love to see the other side of the story where there's like the next door neighbor, you know, those lovely kids, you know, certainly they're mutants. They destroyed the school. They nearly killed my kids, you know. I'd love to see that other side of it. But anyway, because we're sort of led to sort of, what's the word? Sort of feel for them and, sort of go, people, run, don't get caught, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas if your next door neighbor's like, they're gone down the road, get after him. I saw them, he's wearing a green jacket. But anyway.
Yeah, this is one of those shows where every now and then it comes along where I regret not being able to watch it with Mark Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
So that at a strategic point in time, I could launch a sneaky elbow into his temple saying, why the fuck did you make me watch this shit?
Well, I really enjoyed this show, you bastards.
Did you think it was that bad?
Oh, God.
Did you?
Oh, it was so painful. It's full of sixes. Jesus.
Okay.
Sometimes life is indeed hard. Like, but the sixes aside, I thought that the characterization was really good. It has a pretty impressive cast, and it's reasonably well written. Like, you know, comparing it with like, if you think of something like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, Flash, I think it stands up to other superhero shows. Like, and I thought that the family chemistry was good. Now, there's a couple issues with it, but before I get into that, I thought it hangs together quite well. I think you liked it, did you?
Yeah, I think you're right in what you're saying there. I see it better quality than, say, The Flash or Arrow. Better dialogue.
Better than Arrow?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, come on. Arrow's the Z Nation of the Marvel Universe, in fairness. Oh, speaking of which, Z Nation is back. Did I mention
that? No way.
Yeah, yeah. Season 4. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Got to season 4.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, I'll update next week. Or maybe it's season 3. I think it's 4, yeah. I'll update next week anyway. I'm going to have a peek at that. Yeah. But this is a quality show, I think, for the Marvel Universe short series type thing, you know. And I liked it.
God.
I know.
But this is the same crap as what was that thing that was out about
like this
2 months ago with all those silly people with powers. They started out in a mental institute.
Yeah, you see, this is way better than that.
Because there's fewer of them?
No.
Are you talking about Legion?
Legion, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Legion was very different. I think it's much darker and so on. I think this is a bit more, it's got a bit of Buffy in it. It's got a bit of...
She's nowhere near as good looking.
No, no, no. But you know, the underground network type dudes, they're all, you know, they're always dressed the same, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You yeah. know, they always have the sort of the darker tones and kind of...
Army surplus.
Yeah, yeah. Army surplus gear. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Which is what you'd always wear if you're in that, you know.
Yeah, if you didn't want to be noticed.
You wouldn't be dapper. Yeah. You know?
So, could they not stretch to a, you know, a nice blazer and a couple of some respectable chinos?
A bit of Halle Hansen, you know. But anyway, yeah, I like this, and I kind of watched episode 2 and 3 as well.
Oh God, yeah. Steve!
I did.
you're dead to me, man.
I know, yeah, because I really didn't think I'd like this. Because it's not my kind of show. It's just not. But there's something to it.
Mm.
And you know, there are part like Mark said. I'm sure he'll tell us now about his issues with it. But the issues I had were. They did have a bit of, there's a couple of situations that are, the reactions of the people, mm-hmm. not the situation, because you have to leave the brain at the door with this kind mm-hmm. of stuff, right? You know, powers and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, so you're not going to be picking on it, right? Mm-hmm. No more than you'd be picking on Game of Thrones or having dragons in it, right? That kind of way. So, but there are a couple of things that like, that were a situation happened to say, let's say a family member mm-hmm. and then, there's a reaction to it and then they kind of forget about it, you know, and sort of concentrate on something else and then they come back to it, you know, that kind of way. Whereas if it actually happened, there would be uproar for, like, there'd be no change of subject, you know. So that kind of thing that I just found it wouldn't have helped the story, but they had to further the story, you know. But it was a bit clunky, I think,
Yeah, I just kept thinking of that South Park episode where Cartman is taking on the psychics and they have a psychic battle and they're all like waving their hands around going,
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, he's too powerful. Because there was actually one scene where they did exactly that.
There's a cop type dude. I've forgotten what his actual title is, but he sort of works. Hunting paranormal people or mutants. And
Officer Barb Brady.
Jace Turner, I think.
That's not the dad. It's the other dude, yeah?
Yeah, the other dude. He's a baldy guy.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's part of the Sentinel gang. He's not a fed.
Right. Mm. Don't like him.
Yeah. Can you say bald anymore, or does it have to be follicly challenged?
No, he chose to shave, so he's bald.
Yeah, okay. Bald and proud.
Yeah. No, I just, whether it's his character or his dialogue, I found it a weak character and sort of put in there just to cause strife. You know, it's like Colonel Decker. You know, he is the Colonel Decker of the of that mutant finder people. Yeah.
Yeah. He is exactly that. Yeah. So they've cashed in with a lot of geek darlings in this. Like they found actors and actresses that the geek crowd love. Like Garrett Dillahunt is in this. You'll remember him from Sarah Connors, a bunch of things. Mm. And who else have they got? They've got, oh yeah, you mentioned that there's a little bit of Buffy in it. Well, there actually is. Amy Acker was in Buffy, or at least Angel.
Yeah.
She was the offshoot. And then, of course, you have Stephen Moyer, who played Bill Compton in True Blood.
Hmm.
That's who he is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I really want him to break out the Southern drawl, but he's still good. I think you kind of nailed it, Steve, that every so often, I talk about how the family chemistry is good, and it is, but every so often, the writing around that kind of loses its cohesion a wee bit.
Yeah.
I think the way they write the Mutant Underground is stronger, and like it all seems really real. They all play the persecuted quite well, and that's written well also. I had a couple problems with the way they portrayed the powers that nobody apart from a geek like myself would care about. a lot of these people are real ex people. Like in particular, we see a lot of Blink, played by Jamie Chung. She's the girl that opens portals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was a huge character in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did like about it is the way they're kind of viewing, I don't know if viewing is the right word, this is set before Days of Future Past, right? And in Days of Future Past, there's these robots who are out to kill X-Men, and they're really, really tough to beat. Mm. And in this, we get to see the precursors of all of this. Those robots are called Sentinels. The guy that you talked about, the cop in the Sentinel gang, is obviously the people that bring those into being. And they have kind of like very early models of mutant killer robots with them, and it's cool. So there's a lot of stuff like that that I really liked. Like you, Steve, I've watched on a good few episodes too, and I think it's holding together very well. Yeah. Like, I think, for shame, Michael.
Shocked and appalled, gentlemen.
There is a lot of really weak superhero stuff around, and I don't think this is it. Like, we'll talk about Inhumans
you're
next
strong
week,
enough
probably.
To admit that, Mark. Yeah. The therapy is obviously working.
It is, yeah, it is. Anyway, I think it's good. I think it's good.
Hmm. Yeah, I think two thrillers then.
Yeah.
You have no redeeming features in this, no?
No. No, nothing.
Didn't like it at all?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can understand why. Yeah. But yeah, I was kind of caught off guard that I actually liked it. Speaking of not liking stuff, we watched something called The Mayor.
Oh. Oh.
So this is about a struggling hip-hop artist who runs for mayor in his... in his hometown, to promote his music. But then he kind of wins and the election, and it goes from there. And I don't even want to talk about it. You know, it's just...
Sponge it from your memory.
It's so bad. Well it's obviously not aimed at our demographic, I would say.
Yeah. Strangely enough, I actually quite liked this, having watched it just after The Gifted.
You did not.
it was like a relief. At least there's nobody with powers in it.
That's what you think.
It is pretty dreadful.
It is.
It's real American tat, isn't it? You know, it's just...
That's, you know what? That's a genre.
American tat.
Yeah, it's a very filler. Yeah. You know, it's made to be filler. Like, it's not going to win Emmys. Like, it never, even at conception stage, they can't go, this is definitely an Emmy.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to go into box sets. We're going to make millions. No, it's not. It's filler.
We'll get six episodes if we're lucky.
It's cheap to make. Yeah.
But, you know, on the plus side, they cleaned up the park and showed us what politicians should be doing. You know, gave me a little bit of hope for the future, you know, that maybe at the next election we could get positive role models to represent us in our system.
Positive hip-hop artists. Yeah, it's terrible. Mark, skip it.
I have done.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
It looks like I dodged a bullet there.
You did, yeah.
His prescience is scary sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's complete filler. Complete filler. So that's The Mayor. Spider-Man Homecoming.
No, interesting segue, Steve. Thanks for setting me up.
Yeah.
So I finally got to see Spider-Man Homecoming. This is the story of, I guess, the new Spider-Man that was introduced to us in Captain America: Civil War. The events of Civil War are behind us. He has gone back to his regular life as a school kid, though he still daydreams of getting the call to be part of the Avengers once again. And we see how being a spider person makes high school life not even a little bit easier than it usually is. So, have you guys seen this? Did we review this when it came out?
Yeah, I had the misfortune to watch this several months ago when it came out. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I didn't realize he was so bloody young.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be that young. They just haven't been able to cast it.
I always thought he was like 70, at least drinking age, 18.
Well, I suppose the story goes on for years and years.
All right. Right, yeah. Stuck in limbo.
Yeah, like if you follow the whole Spider-Man comic story arc,
okay,
you know, it starts with him at like 13 or 14 and it goes right through to his first prostate exam.
God. My spider sense is tingling. Why is he putting on a glove? So listen, I am the biggest spider fan that you'll ever find. And after So I watched this Blu-ray in two parts. I watched it spread across two nights. Watching it the first night, I kind of liked it because he plays the wide-eyed neophyte hero very well, and it's really endearing the way he's constantly waiting for Tony Stark to call him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the way he's just so starstruck with all of that. Mm. That was really endearing. It was funny too. There was lots of laughs there. But it kind of wore a bit thin after a while, and there wasn't an awful lot of substance beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
The Vulture, played by, what's his name? Willem Dafoe, is it?
Jesus.
No, it's, what's his face?
Keaton.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, sorry. William Dafoe was the original Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Playboy Michael Keaton was really, really good. I thought he was underutilized.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Criminally underutilized in this movie.
Yeah.
Did you find it very irritating that anytime there was a hint of danger, Iron Man would show up and bail him out?
I didn't think it was quite that bad.
Yeah.
there was a bit of that going on, all right. But I don't know, guys. It seemed that, so after watching the first half, I thought, yeah, it's pretty good, you know. But then when I watched the second half and it finished, I went, God, there was a good 40 minutes there where very little of any interest happened.
It was all high school-y stuff, you know, with the young lad and the girl and just, oh, well, Jesus.
I don't mind that. It was wasn't even happening with that. It was, they were traveling somewhere and they were building to this climax and there was a fight.
Yeah.
And there was really nothing happening. Like, so... Like, if it was an episode of a TV show, you would say, well, that episode was mostly filler, like, you know?
Yeah.
And in a movie where there is no episode two or three, you can't really waste minutes like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm afraid it didn't go over very well with me, you know? I was missing out on the cinema experience, so I didn't have a huge sound system, I didn't see the big screen, so a lot of the stuff that he was doing with his web-slinging probably didn't make as big an impact to me as it might have done had I seen it in the silver screen. So I'm caveating it that way. Yeah. But for me overall, I think it's just a 6, which is probably the lowest I'd ever give a Spider-Man movie.
Did it strike you on the small screen how dodgy some of the CGI was?
Some of it was very bad,
And like in this day and age, there's no excuse for that.
Not at all.
It almost looked like the first Spider's CGI. Remember that one? That was terrible.
Yeah.
it was nearly as bad as that. You remember the first Spider-Man one with all the CGI in it there? It's not that long ago, actually.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire and Willem Dafoe. That's the one that I was thinking of when I pulled his name out. And sometimes when he would do web-slinging or be bouncing around the walls, it was obviously a cartoon.
Yeah.
And you could tell that. But that was back... When was that? That was the 90s, I'd say.
Yeah, 96, 98, oh, something like that,
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe I only...
So as an audience, we were a lot more forgiving back then. We were just so delighted that they were able to do Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In a way that was better than... You remember those shows in the 80s and the 70s? Mm-hmm.
They turned the wall sideways.
And his web-slinging used a rope. So we were just glad to see it being done even a small bit better. But anyway, look at it. If you're a Spider-Man fan, you'd probably want to pick this up. If you're interested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's an installment that's worth picking up. I liked what they did with the after the credit scenes. They're pretty good. I enjoyed them. And I didn't hate the movie and the time didn't drag. I just think that it's very, very lightweight and they probably could have taken a few more chances.
Yeah. I have to admit.
They also racially recast a whole load of major spider figures.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Like Flash Thompson is black. Mm. MJ Watson is Hispanic, I think.
Mm.
I would just like to say to everybody, I'm fine with this. I'm just saying it because it's something that happened.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to even make an observation anymore, Mark.
This is the problem with all today. No, but they don't tell you
what you noticed. You fucking racist.
Some casting agent shocked and appalled.
They don't tell you who MJ is for a long time, almost. So that you go, well, I never occurred to me that they might have changed a race. And then you go, oh my God, am I a racist? So I guess I'm kind of recommending it to people who like superheroes and Spider-Man, but not really to anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. 5 for me, for sure. Yeah, very average, I thought. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I'd forgotten about shooting the ropes thing. It's like, you know, fishing net with, you know, sugar on it. Yeah. You know, just
yeah, or it used to be actually netting, like at times. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Have to be a lead weight that sometimes you would see in the shot. Yeah. So they would shoot this lead weight out, they would pull the rope behind it. Oh, God help us. Like, they tried so hard, bless them. Like.
A bit of an old lobster claw still stuck in it, yeah.
I'm going to shoot down through a few other things I saw that I know you guys didn't get to. The Salesman, that's one that I wanted to watch last year. I remember it was the Oscar winner. It was an Iranian movie about a married couple who are performing Arthur Miller's play Death of a Salesman.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. On stage. But during the course of events, the wife is assaulted and her husband wants to find out who did it. Uh-huh. And she's trying to cope with the whole post-traumatic stress kind of thing, and telling him no, and he's going yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a whodunit, and it is a very good movie. Yeah, actually, the whole last act is fantastic, and just the way it all ties back in together. It's very, very good.
Right.
Very, very good. And it was worth the rest of the movie, let's say. Now, not that it was bad, but like the start is really strong. Middle is a little bit, you know, it's the story is continuing, but I mean, having read that synopsis, you're sort of going, oh, I know what happens, you know, for that bit. Right. And then the last act is just, it's class. And it's
do they show much of the play, or is that just a setup to get the ball rolling?
They do. Well, it's not... Well, they're practicing every night. Like, they're going to rehearsals and they show bits of rehearsals and they show a bit of the play where they're actually, performing it. And then incidents sort of happen around that kind of, around the theater and that kind of thing. But
okay. But the play isn't the thrust of the movie, then it's.
No.
The whodunit.
Exactly. It's interesting because at the very start, they're in their apartment and suddenly there's a load of shouting and stuff and people are like, get out of here. Their apartment is damaged.
Right.
And this is what sort of leads to the assault, let's say. They have to get out of the apartment because what happens is there's a dude with a digger just outside the thing and they're like in, on the 8th floor or something, but all these cracks start coming down the walls and the windows smashing and it's just like, get the fuck out of it. Like the whole place is evacuated like in the middle of the night, you know, it's crazy. But, well worth a watch.
Worthy of its Oscar?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's quality movie. Yeah. And it is kind of culturally cool as well.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't see that many Iranian movies, you know, so.
Yeah. I take it wasn't best movie. It was best. Farden movie.
Best Farden movie, yeah.
So there's no chance Mark will ever watch this.
That's true.
Not really, no, I'm afraid.
Just they superimpose Spider-Man on the main character's head.
I would give this an 8. Yeah, right. It's very strong, I really enjoyed it. I also watched a new TV show called Valor.
Uncommon.
Valor. Do you have a synopsis? Yeah.
Gag watch.
Yeah.
United about Navy SEALs.
Oh, it is. Not quite. It's an angle on it. There are SEALs involved in it, but it's about the chopper pilots.
Yeah, okay.
The highly trained chopper pilots dropping them into back arse of nowhere to rescue some other dude who went in to capture someone else but got in trouble. You know, that kind of thing.
Is there really a sir? Yes, sir.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
It's an elite unit of helicopter pilots trained to perform clandestine international and domestic missions. These highly skilled soldiers test the boundaries between military discipline and human desire as layers of personal and military secrets come to light. Oh, God. Mark, you must be wetting yourself. But
sounds awesome.
Order.
But the issue, right? So there's the two main pilots, male and female. Mm-hmm. And something happens on one of the missions that we don't know what happened.
Right.
We see what happens leading up to it, and then there's sort of like they switch scenes, and then we only get it like in flashbacks over the, I don't know how many episodes they're going to do that for.
Yeah.
We're not sure. We know that they're lying about something.
Okay.
Or they want to come clean about it, but they can't because something else, and we don't know everything about it. But anyway, there's all that kind of, let's say sword play going on between the two of them, you know. So
did the Sarge make it?
Yeah, actually, yeah, yeah, it wasn't, yeah, yeah, The Sarge made it. Yeah, there's a few that didn't, but Sarge made it anyway. Yeah. I think both of you would love this.
This sounds right up my street.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do they have lots of like unnecessarily long chopper sound scenes? Like,
pop, pop, pop. They have that, you know, that style of dialogue where someone will say something and then they'll be having a bit of a tiff. Someone will say something and then they go, and that's because blah, 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 blah. And they'll walk off and the camera stays on the other person as they go, slitty eyes, you know, and then they go, huh, you know, and then the camera stays on, and then they go to the next scene, you know. It's just like, oh, Jesus.
I forgot to ask, what year is this? Is this Vietnam or now?
No,
or?
It's current, yeah. Okay. They're going into, like, I don't know, Somalia and places like that, you know. So, it's kind of funny the way it's domestic and international. It's going, that's a long way to go if we're on a helicopter. You know? You know, next week, we're in Nicaragua. Yeah. You know? I'd say you'd love it. I absolutely hate it. Well, I didn't hate it. I watched the end of it, but it's not my thing.
I think it's going to be a requirement now.
No, I think you're going to have to watch it and come back to me. Because I think you'll like it as much.
I think it'll be worth a look, all right. Yeah. It sounds...
Valor.
Sounds exactly like my cup of tea, all right.
Yeah.
Valor.
Spreading democracy. At the end of a minigun.
One explosion at a time. I watched Brawl in Cell Block 99. This is a Vince Vaughn movie. Don Johnson's in it.
Steve, how did you find Brawl in Cell Block?
I know.
There's a story behind that.
No, I was just browsing my movie supplier. And Jennifer, what's her face from Dexter, the sister? You know Dexter's sisters? Anyone?
Yeah.
She's in it as well. She's the main love interest. She's the married to Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn is trying to go straight. He was an alcoholic. He was a drug runner and blah, blah, blah. And he's fired from his job and he's trying to, you know, just do good for his family and blah, blah, blah. And then she gets pregnant and then he ends up in jail because he lost his job. And then she's kidnapped and the guys who got her said, you have to go and kill this other dude in jail. But he's in a different jail, a high maximum security jail. And of course, he wants to get out because she's pregnant. And, you know, anyway. So he has to fight his way. He's an ex-boxer, by the way. So he has to fight his way to get to wherever. And, you know, I didn't know the whole story. That's good. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew Vince Vaughn is in it. Grant, give it a look. And Don Johnson, of course.
Yeah.
So,
it sounds like it should be a Kurt Russell movie. He's great at breaking out of shit and fighting his way through.
That's the thing. Vince Vaughn is really good in this. Because you don't see him in too many serious roles recently.
No,
he was really good in this. And he is a big dude.
How serious was the role, Steve?
Well, he's in a very, very maximum security prison, and like there's no funny. There's no funny in it. Like he's bet down, and he's in a very, very bad situation. Mm-hmm. You know. Wow. So
does he squeal like a pig?
Oh no, God! They tried, man, there's. You know the way Tarantino used to be the shocker director for violence and stuff. That this is. Mm. It's just way beyond, and it's completely out of the blue, and it just escalates as it goes on. But it's car crash TV because you're like, I can't not watch this, you know, that kind of. But
does it advance the story, or is it just?
Value? No, it's kind of in context because you know there's a row in a maximum security prison, like they're playing for keeps, like you know, if
all the marbles.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's no sort of like, right, now, that's you, Doug. Now you're sore. You know, that's not it. It's like, this is gladiator stuff, you know? There's
now I respect you.
So there's no sort of, you know, sort of like Jackie Chan stuff where they get battered and they lie down on the ground and go, they get finished to like finish him.
Yeah.
You know, completely. And even like if I'm watching, let's say MMA or UFC, for example, and somebody sort of gets close to being tapped out in an arm bar, I'm sort of putting my hand up to my eyes going, no, I don't need to see this. You know, I don't need to see the arm or the hyperextension. Well, this got me completely off guard where he did a hyperextension and then there was a compound fracture. And I was just, and that was just the start of it, you know. So I can't say this is a good matinee or one I go, like I'd bring.
It's not one for all the family.
No, it's not. I'd say you might like it. All right. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I'd mark it. I mean, it's not. It's probably a six. It's a strong six.
Yeah.
Primarily because Vince is excellent.
Yeah.
Don is good too, but he doesn't have as much screen time. Vince is just, he is the movie. Yeah. You know, he's very, very good. Yeah. I don't know if you want to see something a bit down and dirty and a bit violent, this is probably it. Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit of rough.
Oh man. Some of the prisons he's in though. Jeez. Yeah. Like there's, the maximum security prison, there's a prison within the prison kind of thing. Okay. You know? It's just prisoner of war stuff. Like. Right. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Anyway.
Actually, speaking of Snappy Mac Snap, I watched No Country for Old Men again recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny how innocent we all were. I think it was 2002 that was released.
Was it, Rich? Jesus, yeah, that
it's,
long ago?
It's an old movie now. But there was one scene where, you know, the main bad guy. Mm-hmm. The guy with the
sugar.
He mm-hmm. goes to strangle a guy with his handcuffs.
Yeah.
And he drags him down to the ground.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there watching and said, get the fucking hooks in. It wouldn't even occur to them back in 2002. Oh, time has moved on.
That's funny.
It's funny. Sean is doing a piece at the minute about how much writing goes into action movie fight scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's picking five or six films from down through the years and looking at their scripts to say, because apparently George Lucas, for example, is really, really light on the description.
Right.
For example, he'll say, Obi-Wan enters stage left, Darth Vader enters stage right. They fight.
Yeah.
Whereas you'll get some writers who are quite descriptive about the things that need to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were trying to come up with films that we think would be good to look at, like. Uh-huh. And of course, it's all about your point of view. But I immediately went to Lethal Weapon, which was the first movie that had real jiu-jitsu in it.
That's right. Did he finish him with a triangle?
The first movie.
Yeah.
I missed that, Mike. What?
I was just going to say, if I remember rightly, he finished off your man with a triangle, didn't he? In the fight in the front garden.
Yeah, there was an armbar attempt at the guy got out of. But one of the Gracie family was fight choreographer on that movie, which is what might give rise to it all.
Yeah.
And then if you remember as well, there was all the Bourne stuff. And Batman Begins, where this Casey fighting system became a thing.
Yeah.
And the next thing, it was like, if you were taking on multiple people, well, you had to look the way Batman did in Batman Begins. And it's just interesting to look back through action movies from the point of view of the styles of fighting that they used and how they changed. Right. Like the original Star Wars movies, they used one style of fencing for the lightsaber duels. Right. Whereas in the prequels, terrible as they were, they used multiple styles and multiple types of choreography. And it showed, you know, there were better fight scenes. Yeah. They just weren't as well written.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, though. Wouldn't you be better off as a screenwriter to do it the George Lucas way and let the choreographer experts take care of the details?
Not unless you're Jackie Chan.
I think so. I think you would just.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're, I think so. I'd be interested to read Sean's finished piece, but like, I think that if you've got a choreographer on set who knows what fighting is supposed to look like and how it looks good, you know, then why not let them at it? Yeah. You know, just tell them, okay, well, I need that window broken because that's the window the chopper is going to fly through. And just maybe put a few things in there like that and then have at it. Have at it, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ping us when it's finished. I'd like to have a read of that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I haven't slagged Sean in ages.
What are we talking about? Oh, we just finished Cell Block 99. Actually, there's one. Maybe you should watch those fight scenes. Because, Jesus. Actually, that just reminds me. Eddie Izzard used to have a bit about, car chases, which is kind of the same kind of thing. It's like in a book, I mean, you're reading car chases. Like in a movie, it's like they have car chase, you know, and they do, yeah. you're like, how did they write it? But in a book, is it like, what do they do? Is it just like, oh, he's driving in the car. Oh, he looks in the rearview mirror. Oh, there's a car behind him. Oh, he drives really fast. You know? Oh, the other car drives really fast. You know, there's engine noises. Oh, squealing. Yeah. You know, he turns left. So does the other car, you know. Very funny, but anyway.
Actually, I remember reading a werewolf book. That's probably 5-6 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great werewolf book.
Yeah.
But there was extended sequences of this guy was obviously obsessed with Sabs.
Oh, really?
he was like literary masturbation about Sabs, really? And their performance and cornering. And
really? He was going through the spec sheet.
Yeah. I just thought to myself, he wanted to write a book about a Sab, so he put some werewolves in it to get it published.
Speaking of horror, Mike, did you see It?
I did indeed, sir.
Oh, was it good?
That was a damn fine segue.
That was fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. It's obvious this guy's been doing this for years.
Oh, he's a pro.
It was, but do you know when I say, did you see It? And you go, yes, I did, and then stop talking. It kills the fucking segue, Mike.
So It was, it's been a fairly big deal last month or so. I think it was breaking all kinds of records.
All kinds?
Actually, I even overheard, I was getting my hair cut the other day. Mm-hmm. And in the seat next to me was
Burgess Thomas getting your haircut or getting your haircut?
No, at the
you got your haircut. Yeah. Okay.
there was a young kid, probably 8 or 9, in the next chair to my left.
Yeah,
and he was talking to his barber, and I was ignoring mine as I always do. I will not talk.
Can't look him in the eye when he's got my hair.
I don't give a fuck how your day was.
No, I'm not taking all this. Go on, yeah.
So the little kid was talking to the other barber about It. He said, yeah, I've a friend of mine and he's 18 and he said it should be 21.
Oh, really?
I thought, oh dear. The innocence. but to the movie itself, remake of a book.
Of a remake.
Of a remake something.
Yeah.
Stephen King, all over again.
Mm-hmm.
They've kept with the original timing. It's set in the late 80s. There's bad hair everywhere.
Back in his good
awful jeans. Yeah. It's shocking, really. One thing I liked about it was they kind of gave it that dodgy 80s camera work.
Oh, yeah.
It actually looks like it was filmed in the 80s.
Oh, right.
I don't know how they did it.
Cool.
It was nicely done.
She's got some interns to film. Yeah.
Anybody here not know how to use a camera? Okay, you're hired. So it follows the story of a bunch of young kids, kind of rejects. They come together in one way or another, and it turns out that they're all being terrorized by this fucking clown that hangs out, and they, you know, they take their lashes and they get together and try and find a way to survive.
Okay, so this isn't the clown in their dreams. There's an actual clown that
there's an actual clown.
Okay, yeah.
And I quite like the way they broke that that little wall for you, because you could be like, what was it, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah.
Where he's not really real?
Yeah.
So the first time you see the clown, you're thinking, okay, is this a Nightmare on Elm Street? Is the kid just seeing this or is it real? And then all of a sudden, boom.
Oh, really?
Okay, it's real.
Oh, really?
So that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
I have to say, I didn't particularly find it scary.
Oh, really?
It's very much so geared at people who are shit scared of clowns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God, there's a clown on the screen.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I don't overly have an issue with clowns.
Okay.
So that kind of negated a lot of the shock value.
Yeah.
And it turned it for me into something akin to, say, the Goonies meets Sinister.
Right.
So,
okay,
yeah, it's
so it's a kiddie gang movie, is it?
It's a, yeah, it's a
so kid- is this like the summer where they go off hunting for,
you know, almost, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bit like Stranger Things, kind of a kid's,
yeah, you know, there's kids going missing and they go off to look for them, yeah, yeah. And obviously they go into places that they shouldn't be,
the big, dark, scary forest,
yeah,
down,
yeah,
the scary kind of drain,
yeah, yep, yeah, yeah, all scary. Stay out of the fucking drains.
You don't ask.
If I told you once, I told you a thousand times, stay out of the fucking drains.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice, like, in America, whether it's air vents or drains or whatever, they're always big enough to
fit someone.
Yeah. I've never seen anything that you could get into if you were bigger than a terrier. So the movie itself, it has its good aspects. As I said, there was the cinematography. Uh-huh. The sound was really good.
Uh-huh.
Like when they're in a drain, it really sounds like they're in a drain.
Yeah.
I think they did a lot of work on that. The soundtrack was quite good.
Yeah.
The cast was good. I mean, there's, I think, 6 or 7 kids as the main lineup.
Yeah.
And amazingly, none of them irritated me.
All right.
Which, you know, hats off.
That's quite, like, really quite the achievement.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No dribbling.
Yeah. they had an interesting take on the female lead. She is, she's probably portrayed to be about 14. Uh-huh. And it's heavily sexualized.
Really?
Yeah. And I kind of wish Shona was here, because I'd love to hear her take on it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they refer to her as a sexual object in school, at home, amongst her friends. And you're kind of wondering, well, where is this going?
Yeah.
And in the movie itself, it doesn't really go anywhere. But there's a famous scene in the book where it all makes sense.
Right.
But they left that scene out of the movie.
Really?
Which in turn meant that that aspect of the story just kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Huh.
So, make it that way what you will.
Yeah.
But if you like sexualized 14-year-olds, damn.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry, Sean, I know I'm burning here.
Oh, God.
he just had to ruin it, didn't he? the other thing that I really struggled with the other thing that I really struggled with on the movie.
Oh, coffee coming out my nose. I wasn't even drinking coffee.
The other thing I really struggled with for the third time is the rules of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because the clown shows up.
Yeah.
And you see, first of all, what he can do.
Yeah.
And then every so often he gets a new power.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason other than to make a shocking scene.
Oh, okay.
So it's like they're cheating, you know, they're just making shit up, you know, suddenly I can do this, you know.
All right.
And there doesn't...
Stuff that wasn't in the book.
I really can't remember. It's so long ago. Yeah. But like in most monster movies, there's an exposition which kind of gives you the rules of the game.
Yeah.
You know, werewolves can't go out. Or werewolves are only there in moonlight, vampires in daylight, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. With the clown, there's no real limits imposed that you can kind of get your head around. So you're constantly thinking, well, what is he going to do next? You know, what's the word? Like, if you're trying to build tension, you need some way where the protagonist...
Oh, so you're going, oh, it's going to happen now because this thing is happening.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You're thinking 1, 2, 3, that has to happen.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to predict when the bad guy has no rules.
Right. Does that not give him an advantage in the shock factor?
Well, like, I think it was kind of a cheap
advantage. It's like, cheap when you advantage. Least expect it,
Yeah, I mean...
But it's one of the things that's good about horror movies, though, is when you're pulled into it, when you're immersed in it, mm-hmm. and you're going, well, if I was there, I wouldn't go into the drain, I would X, Y, or Z, you know?
Yeah.
I think what you're saying, Mike, is you can't really do that when you go, well, I would have done this.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it turns out that the clown knows how to build a bazooka.
Yeah, he's called it an airstrike or something. You know?
And it ruins your little scenario.
Yeah.
I think you summed it up exactly. You can't be in imagining what you're going to do yeah. if you can't imagine what
yeah.
what are the limits of the yeah. the scenario.
Napalm spit. You know, you'd never guess that one. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, it's a very well made movie.
Yeah.
But it's.
It doesn't weak sound to me like you liked it though.
I didn't. I did didn't. It was a struggle to get through.
Huh.
And so many people are raving about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are things to rave about.
Mm.
But, yeah, maybe I'm just too much of a miserable old bollocks to enjoy it.
Next door, we're going to there, and I told them that I'd put a red balloon hanging out of the drain when I came back.
Yeah.
Don't fucking do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, that's a good movie. If you're shit scared of clowns, go see it.
Mm.
But I probably can't go above a 6.
No, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of clowns in the media these days.
And in the Oireachtas.
Yeah. Actually, did you see that ad? Speaking of clowns, see that ad by Audi? They've got a great one where
there's
a guy in a new Audi and goes out for a drive, but every other car on the road is driven by a clown.
Okay.
It's such a brilliant thing, you know. Yeah. This guy's breaking in front of him. Oh, yeah, clown! You know? It's very good. It's very good. It's very funny. It's worth a look. So that was it. Okay. Suburra.
Yeah,
it's an Italian crime drama.
How did this get on the list, Steve?
Well, because
only you,
it's new on Netflix. No, you see, this is a prequel to the 2015 movie, Suburra. Remember they did it with, oh God, what was the name of the one set in Naples? Naples, it was a series and a movie.
Was it Romanzo Criminale?
Another Roman one, Romanzo Criminale.
I wouldn't try and remember them. These are all subtitled things that nobody cares about.
So it was in turn inspired by the novel of the same name. So it's about power and corruption in Rome, amongst organized crime, city politicians, and the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. The Vatican.
The Vatican. Yeah. So that's the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do we think?
I was awful disappointed with this, Steve.
Were you?
Yeah. Because like organized crime, Italian, sounds great.
Yeah.
But I think they dropped the ball on it very early. For me, the casting was terrible.
Ah.
None of the main characters really were believable for me.
They're a bit 90210 in place, weren't they?
Yeah. Really.
They're a bit too good looking.
Yeah. And none of them look hard.
Right. Yeah.
You know, none of them look like somebody who'd fucking bait the snot out of you in the chipper or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was one scene that actually killed it for me.
Oh, really?
It was one of the, I think it was the pretty boy heir of the family is meeting some other pretty boy trying to organize a cocaine party.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, he has to meet him in an MMA gym because that
gives
him the background to show how hard he is. Yeah. You know? They have him punching a punch bag, and it's obvious he's never punched a fucking bag in his life.
I thought he's pretty handy, actually. This shows what I know.
And then they have the two of them fighting, and it's just two guys that don't know how to fight.
Gamora, that was the name of it.
Gamora, good call. That really broke any suspension of disbelief that I had in this, you know.
Right.
You know, and any violence that was in there was kind of, it looked a little bit clean, you know.
Yeah.
A far cry from what you're describing in Cell Block 99.
Oh, God. I'm still things that you've seen cannot be unseen. That's what strikes me with that. I enjoyed this.
Did you?
I knew I was going to.
Okay.
Because I've done the Romanza Criminale, instead I've done the Camorra. I just wanted more of that.
Yeah.
That kind of genre style.
See, I really like Camorra.
Yeah, it's different.
Manzo,
yeah, they're different. This isn't as strong as those, admittedly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I have gone and watched episode 2 and 3.
Okay.
The whole season is up actually on Netflix. But episode 2 is much stronger than episode 1. Mm-hmm. 3 is probably on a par with 2, you know. Right. So it does get better.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of groundwork done in episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
The characters develop into themselves, okay, let's say.
Yeah.
Like the good-looking blondie air dude. He just gets more and more unstable.
Okay.
He's very good. I think I'm going to watch more though.
I did actually really like when the Sicilian mafia showed up. The complete contempt in which held the Roman gangsters. Fucking amateurs. Yeah.
You call yourself mafia. Yeah.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Get him, Kev.
Yeah. it's another world, all right. But, I love the whole, the way the families sort of unite with each other and then they're against each other. And then you find that, in the background, there's a couple of dudes from each family working together and on the sly, on the take kind of thing as well. I like the web of deceit.
Yeah.
They
do a great job for, Roman tourism.
They have
great shots of the city, and interesting angles.
Like, I was there.
But they make it look well.
That's right, because Romanzo Criminale didn't do that so much.
No, and Gamora looked like a total shithole.
Well, it's Naples, yeah.
I think there are a couple of nice buildings in
there. There are, yeah.
under the graffiti.
What do you think, guys? It sounds like you're going to watch more of it, Steve.
Yeah, I think I am, yeah.
Okay, yeah, keep me posted.
Yeah. I'll let you know if I kind of know... if you'd like later, you know, kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm feeling, you know, if it gets filtered.
Well, I didn't see this, but I hated it. When I looked this up to see what you'd put in the list and I saw that it was the first foreign language original show from Netflix, I went, only a prick like you, Steve, would force me or try and force me to watch this. Luckily, I didn't have the time.
Hang on. Who put the fucking mayor on the list and then didn't watch it?
that's right.
Talk about fucking throwing the grenade in the room and shutting the door, huh?
But that took 30 minutes, though, and you didn't have to read it. You could have been on your phone while that was on the TV at least.
Stranger Things season 2.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, October 31st.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I got to American Vandal, Mark, and lolled my way through episode 1. I don't think I'm going to watch any more though.
That's all right, you're allowed.
No, I think it's...
Is it a one joke wonder?
It's not, no.
Yeah, but I don't think there's enough in it that I'd laugh, you know, continue laughing as much as I think I got the joke in first, but I don't think it's a one joke wonder, but I don't think
who do you think drew the dicks? You're wrong.
Yes.
It wasn't that person.
No.
No, not that person either.
No.
You won't guess it. It's unguessable.
Because they never tell us.
No, they do tell you.
No, I have a feeling.
Anyway, it's good that you watched it. It's not for you. That's fine. I still think it's one of the funniest things I've seen this year.
Yeah. And I do appreciate it, all right. Yeah, but I just don't have time for it, actually. I just don't have time, really. Is that it? Are we done?
That's it, I think. I think that's quite an episode, guys. It's a lot of stuff.
School's done. All right. Okay. So, leave there. Mark, Mike, Steve.
I think so.
Stay classy.